Welcome back, everyone. Today is Thursday, January the 26th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
Sorry, I jumped the gun. Go ahead.
You get excited right around the time I'm ready to tell.
I'm ready to talk.
You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
Hang on one second. Hello? My social security. Absolutely.
It's 241. Wait a minute.
Sorry about that.
Also, don't answer the phone on the show.
That's right. That was kind of rude. Sorry. I just didn't know if it was my turn to talk or if you were going to monopolize the entire...
I passed the baton to you.
That's true. You guys can help us keep this conversation on the air by supporting the show, sharing it online, leaving us a good review on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast, and we're going to leave you a couple of links so that you can do just that. We want to set you up for success so you in turn can set us up for success. That's the cycle of success.
You know what we call that?
What's that?
Reciprocity.
That's it. Reciprocity.
Reciprocity. Reciprocity.
No, I call it the cycle.
The sex cycle. Yeah.
I don't know.
It was bad.
Anyway, let's read God's word.
Yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead and read the verse of the day today.
The verse of the day today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
You know, that's something we joke about all the time is getting older, you know, but it actually is pretty challenging. I mean, I'm only 30, so I'm still kind of a young buck. But, you know, I'm starting to see these things of these themes of maturing in my life. And there's sort of this, I wouldn't call it dread, but there is this understanding now that my days are very limited. You know what I mean? My time on earth is short. And so when you start to realize your own mortality, you start to realize like my body's going to one day betray me. My mind is going to betray me. My kids are going to grow up and move away. And yet with the Spirit of God, everything is new. Mm-hmm. You know, He always is doing a new thing and we're being renewed and refreshed every single day.
I know there's some people who are listening now, you need that word today.
Yeah.
You need to feel a sense of being refreshed. You need mm-hmm. to feel a sense of being renewed, because if you're being honest, it's been a while since you felt that.
Yeah.
That can only come from God's word. That can only come from a relationship with Him.
That's right. You know, speaking of things that are old and tired, I saw you had some Boba Fett socks on today.
I do have some Boba Fett socks on today. Those are brand new, actually. I got
really?
Them for Christmas.
Well, I'm talking about just Boba Fett as himself. He's an old and tired character.
Sure.
I'm going to say something. I'm saying this as a Star Wars fan.
Okay.
So I want you to know, all of you guys out there that love Star Wars, I love Star Wars.
Right.
Love it beyond belief.
Sure.
Star Wars is boring.
Oh, no.
Boba Fett
is not
a good character.
Is this? No, okay, now wait a minute. Are you talking about the book of Boba Fett that just came out?
I didn't like it.
Okay, I haven't actually seen it, so I can't speak to that. So are you saying that Star Wars introduction into the universe, the Book of Boba Fett, are you saying Star Wars as a franchise?
I think Star Wars as a I don't I think that the, every Star Wars movie that and iteration that has ever come out is boring. It's just a degree of how boring is it.
Really?
Yes. That being said, I love Star Wars. I have lots of nostalgia with it.
Huh.
But I was watching Book of Boba Fett and like 15 minutes went by and no one said a word. And I was like, okay, you don't always need dialogue. That's fine. But what's on the screen has to be compelling.
Right.
I don't care about this dude who gets vomited up out of the Sarlacc pit and is just wandering around Tatooine, sitting around a fire, trying to ward off these invaders. It's just not fun. Star Wars used to be fun, and it was because I was a little kid and I didn't understand what was going on. There was just laser swords and spaceships, and now I'm old and I'm realizing that this thing I love is not good. It's not well written. None of it is any good. I went back and watched Empire Strikes Back, and I'm not gonna lie, it made me feel really good, but I don't think it was a well written, well produced movie. I want to be a little kid again and watch Star Wars and love it. And when Darth Vader comes on the screen, I want to be like, oh my gosh, that's Darth Vader. I see it and I'm like, look at this 6'2" asthmatic robot walking around with like a laser sword samurai wizard in black.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at your existential crisis over Star Wars, but that was really funny.
Star Wars used to be fun, and it's just not fun no more.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Your socks really set me off today.
I apologize. If it makes you feel any better, I'm not even really like a Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars. Star Wars is fine, but I'm just like...
David got me this for Christmas. It's Obi-Wan Tales of Kenobi. Nice. I do read the novels. I'm not going to lie. They are very boring, but they're very good because they're Star Wars. You put a Star Wars logo on it, I'm going to read it. I'm not going to watch it. But Tales of Kenobi is actually good. It's no longer canon, but I still like to read it because it's Star Wars.
There you go. Why don't you guys write in and let us know what your thoughts are on Star Wars. If you love it, if it's more of a nostalgia thing for you, or if, like John, you're just kind of
You've been brainwashed into loving it. You as a child were
brainwashed. You've been influenced by pop culture into liking it.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Let us know. 252-582-5028. We've got an exciting show planned for you guys today. We're going to go get Dr. Shaw, but if you have any questions in the meantime or suggestions for new topics, text us into that number at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, make sure you let us know by writing in and sending us a text, 252-582-5028. Dr. Shah, welcome to the studio this Thursday.
Hey, good to be here today.
It's good to see you, absolutely. It's good to see you guys on the radio, all of your bright...
Even though we can't really see you.
Yeah, I can see all your bright and shining faces right now. I'm looking through the radio at you. You guys need to stop texting while y'all's driving. I've been told y'all about that. If you're brand new and visiting with us, if you're brand new, you've never seen the show before, never listened to the show before, Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can follow his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com.
If somebody's listening for the first time, they're like, this dude just told me he's looking at me through the radio.
It's like Willy Wonka
What's
style.
What's happening?
It's Willy Wonka style. And you know you didn't finish putting on your makeup. Everybody's going to notice.
Oh, important. No.
I'm joking. I can't see y'all through the radio.
Well, guys, if you've been listening to the show all January long, we've been talking about new beginnings, this idea of starting over and getting a fresh start, you know, especially with the new year, a lot of resolutions happening. And we've talked about this a few times this month already. But today we want to take a look at being intentional about doing things like breaking old habits and doing away with old patterns. Mm. These can often lead to consequences that can simply be impossible to predict. And, you know, we've got to think rightly about how to break those patterns because we can fall into, you know, we can fall into trouble thinking, we can fall into thinking that will lock us up and in a way like chain us down.
Right.
Right. You know, in life, we all have choices. We all have, decisions to make, but making wrong decisions comes with the consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, all decisions come with consequences, but wrong decisions are where you go, oh, I know why this is happening.
Yeah. That's right.
This is why it's happening this way. Now, our job in today's show is not to make you, you know, dwell on the past. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
It's not to sit there and, you know, just kind of just, you know, beat yourself over decisions you made years ago. Mm-hmm. No, our job is to understand the past and move forward. Mm-hmm. Right. That's it.
You know, we're talking about like making decisions that you couldn't have seen the consequences, or you just didn't think about the consequences that could have happened. It reminds me of that story you told us a long time ago. I don't know if you ever told it in a sermon. I think you did, but when y'all went rafting on the Chattahoochee River.
Oh.
You remember what I'm talking about?
I do remember the story.
Yeah, I remember that. This was, good grief, we're going back to like 2004, okay?
Wow.
Long time ago. And we went to visit, you know, Northeast Georgia up in the mountains.
That's Nicole's stomping grounds, isn't it?
Well, mine too.
It's yours too, yeah. You went to college there.
Yeah, so I went to college at Toccoa Falls College in Georgia, Christian College. And, you know, after we married, moved away, and then we had three kids at the time, Rebecca, Abigail, Nicholas. Thomas hadn't been born yet. So we're talking about pre-2006.
Wow.
Man.
And so we decided to go to a small little town called Helen, Georgia. Helen, Georgia is like a German Alpine village. You said, how did that get to Georgia? Right. Great question. Because there are no Germans there. This is kind of like, how can we get a bunch of people to come and drink?
Oh yeah.
Town. Oh.
Okay? Like a Georgian Oktoberfest.
That's it.
Gotcha.
And that's
gotcha.
What they wanted. And so they kind of, dug up something about some explorer who happened to go through there. Maybe sort of. Was probably German.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
could maybe at one point possibly have been maybe related
I'm
to
guessing
somebody
they
who was German.
Propped him up, put his face everywhere, put his name everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a little window that has this history of Helen, Georgia. I mean, anyway, so we used to go there a lot when we were in college. You know, we used to go walk around because it has a, what do you call it, like an outlet mall there and all mm-hmm. that, you know. And then they have the Chattahoochee River flows behind, so you can get on these tubes and inner tubes and kind of ride down lazy river style. And so we decided to take these kids, our three kids, to Helen, and got there the night before. I believe it was Sunday night, if I may be wrong. And man, we just walking around. It's like, oh, this looks great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? Let's come out here tomorrow morning and let's go ahead and go inner tubing. Kids mm-hmm. would love that. Mm-hmm. It's summertime. So water is nice and cool. It's not hot. It's not, you know, cold. Great. And so we get down there the next day. Only problem is that the night before, or that after we left, hell, you know, went back to the hotel, it rained. And I'm talking about torrential rain.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about Georgia rain.
Downpour. Like,
downpour.
Oh, no.
So we got there and went straight to the place where you get the tubes and get in the water. And something told me, it's like, don't do this.
You hit the little cronk angel on you.
Yeah, it's like, don't do this. This
may
not be good because the water is rushing a lot more and it's deep. All of a sudden, this little river is looking deeper.
Like some white water rapids.
Yeah, it's deeper. So I was like,
deeper! Yeah!
Oh,
shout
man.
Out to the Aristocats.
Solid reference.
So I'm like, okay, let's be okay. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
So Nicole gets Nicholas. I get Abigail. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca is on her own. So I was like, okay, this works out great.
How old is Rebecca at this time?
Rebecca is, golly, I can't remember now. I want to say maybe...
She was born in 95. It was 2004.
So she's nine.
Nine.
Eight or nine years age.
Nine, yeah.
Yeah. So I felt like, she can handle it. No. This went from lazy river to raging whitewater rafting.
Oh, no.
Very quickly. So I'm like hanging on to Rebecca's inner tube, okay? And we're like going down this thing. And then... they're rocks. Mm-hmm. So we're like, mm-hmm. we're hitting here, hitting there. And I let go of that rope.
Oh no.
I didn't let go of it. It just came out of my hands.
Yeah.
It's wet. It's hard to hold on to something.
And
we're just going on Mach speed through this
breaking the sound barrier.
And so I see her and as we're going down this thing, there are some other idiots on the river with us. But I'm like, oh, this was a mistake. This is a huge mistake. And I was like, what do we do now? Maybe we should just get out. But we can't because now we're separated.
Yeah.
And we're going under the bridge. You know, there are several bridges. And mm-hmm. there's like people stand there and watch. I'm looking up and people are looking with horror in their eyes. Like,
why would y'all have done this?
This family has really, you know, there's something bad's about to happen.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And then all of a sudden, Nicole's inner tube flipped.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so she has Thomas in her hands.
Oh, no.
And the water is about, you know, waist deep. So this is, we do have life jackets on, but still, I mean, it's not a fun thing anymore.
Yeah.
And right about this time, I see Rebecca getting further and further away from us.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, easy to get out, right? Because mm-hmm. I pulled over to the side, but now Rebecca is not.
Yeah.
She's on her own. She's in the middle of the stream and is moving faster and faster away. So I'm like literally.
Is she scared? Is she like crying?
No.
She's good.
Just sitting in the middle, just kind of. Yeah. On her knees.
Up and down. My just sitting on her knees. Wagon.
Yeah. And just holding onto the ropes and just kind of going along. And by the way, this was her birthday.
Oh,
this is July the 3rd.
Oh, man.
2004. And I'm like, wow, this is a great day to see our daughter, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Head on into the other life. You know, it was very scary.
Oh,
thank God. Thank God. We got to the end and she was over there standing, just waiting on us.
Mm.
Wow.
The whole point is this, you know, when we got into the water,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize what would happen because it was not a fun time.
Right.
It was not fun at all.
Right.
Gosh.
It's just that way. That's just part of life, I guess. It's just, we make these decisions in life and then we end up on the other side and being like, how could I have ever seen the consequences of this coming?
Yeah.
But also let me remind the listeners, the viewers, it's not just decisions you make.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are storms that come
mm-hmm.
that you didn't plan. I would not in a million years throw my daughter into a whitewater, you know, a river.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wouldn't do that because, no, she doesn't know that. I can't help her there. I mean, this is not acceptable. But the rain night before, who could have predicted that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, no, this is before having the weather app on your phone and all that stuff. This is 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they had it on some phones. I didn't have it.
Yeah.
Had no idea this would happen.
Yeah.
So don't beat yourself up over thinking you made this wrong decision and that wrong decision, and hence your family is in a disarray or whatever. You know, we're all going through something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, sometimes things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to just accept that God is going to use this to work something good.
Yeah. And that's what we want to talk about today. It's never too late to make that point to course correct. Or if you've been like if you're several generations into your family making wrong decisions, or you're having to deal with the fallout from previous generations, you yourself can break those chains.
Right.
Right.
You preached a message a while ago, Dr. Shaw, about Abraham and Sarah and about their family and about how, you know, there were several generations of these wrong decisions or these wrong patterns that then these individuals had to become chain breakers in their own families.
Yeah. And I think about Abraham, you know, or Abram in Genesis 12, his name hasn't changed yet. God comes to him and says, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right. And Abram steps out with his wife, Sarai. But what we don't realize is that if we back up to verse 31 of the previous chapter,
mm-hmm.
it says, and Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there.
Hmm.
So here's a big question. Who got the call?
Yeah, that's true.
A good point.
That's true. We tend to think it was Abraham, that he was the first one.
Right. Yeah.
But it says that Terah did it. His father did it.
Right. So Terah is the one who took his son and his wife and all that, and they stepped out. So when you study these genealogies carefully, what you find is that Terah is located at the end of the first age and the beginning of the second. The first age begins with Adam and Eve and goes all the way through Noah and his three sons, you know, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And the second age begins with Terah in verse 27, but it says, you know, this is the genealogy mm-hmm. of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So Terah is sort of like the transitional figure between the first and the second age. And I believe it was Terah, not Abraham, who left Ur of the Chaldeans.
Yeah, because that's true. You just said that this is the genealogy of Abram. This is right. the genealogy of Terah.
Right.
He's that transition.
That's right. Right. That's
wow.
right.
Wow.
And so he left Ur. And I imagine for a moment what a difficult decision that must have been. Mm-hmm. Archaeological evidence shows that Ur was the place to be. It was right there by the Persian Gulf. It was a center for moon worship. There is evidence to this day of a ziggurat. Ziggurat is like these pyramids, a step pyramids, dedicated to the god Nana or Sin. And he was the god of the cow herders, the cattle breeders, the orchard men, also the god of fertility. And so this was the place to do business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And in those days, you don't leave a place like that and say, let me just wander.
Yeah.
No, this is where you want to be. This is where you want to raise your family. Mm-hmm. You'll have all the things in life. You have a community. And he steps out. So Terah is the one, I believe, who left all behind to follow God and headed towards Canaan.
Yeah. Mm.
But unfortunately, you know, he moved out, but he did not go all the way to Canaan. He stops in Haran.
Mm.
You know, it says here in verse 28, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. So we don't have all the details as to what happened, but I believe in some sense, Terah must have said, I'm done. I'm just staying here.
Mm.
I think there's a very profound truth in that a lot of times we see success and we tend to give it to someone who may deserve, you know, some credit, but there's also stuff happening before them that yeah. laid foundation. Like I think for myself, like here at Clearview, and I think a lot of worship pastors tend to do this, or worship leaders tend to do this, is they look at the success they've had in their ministry and they think, man, God has really worked in me a lot. I tend to see it more as, look at all the struggles I didn't have to face
right.
because Dr. Shaw has been doing this for 20 years before me, laying a foundation, solving problems that I don't have to solve.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to build this network from the ground up because the foundation has been laid for me.
Right.
Someone who came before me, and if you're listening, your pastor or the people who, you know, worked in your church before you have laid a foundation and have put hard work in so that you could reap those benefits. Yeah. And that, to me, that keeps me humble, and that keeps me remembering that everything I have is a privilege.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I love the credit that you give, Dr. Shaw, to your own dad. Mm. And you talk about, you know, being able to stand on his shoulders in your ministry and him kind of being the precursor for you and even Nicole's dad as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And even the people at this church, right, where we are at mm-hmm. Clearview in mm-hmm. Henderson, you know, they held the fort, you know, they hung on to this place and did whatever they could. You know, the budget was very small and hardly any people, you know, but they kept on day after day, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. And so we're standing on their shoulders and we need to remember that. So with Abraham, Terah was the chain breaker.
Mm-hmm.
He left Ur of the Chaldeans, but he did not go far enough. He stopped at Haran. You know, Haran would be today kind of northern Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've heard commentators say, well, he stopped at this place called Haran. I also think he must have started the town of Haran, named mm-hmm. after his son, Haran.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, keep in mind, you know, when you study Abram and Sarah's life, or Abraham and Sarah's life, they were not ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, you know, there's a title for him, is the king of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Terah was a very prominent person in Ur of the Chaldeans. In fact, it talks about them being kings and queens, Sarah being a princess. Mm-hmm. So Terah must have been a king, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if your daughter is a princess, what does that make you?
Yeah, that makes you a king.
Makes you a king.
That's right.
And if you say, well, maybe that's Terah's, I mean, Sarah's dad may be a king. Don't forget, Abraham and Sarah's dad both of their dad was the same person, Terah. Right.
That's true.
So so he was the king.
Yeah.
He not only was he her father-in-law, but he was also her father.
Yeah.
The problem, I believe, came in is his faith. Mm. Okay? So you find evidence for that in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. It says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times,'" talking about Euphrates, "'and they served
other gods.'"
Other gods. Mm-hmm. That was his problem. He was a chain breaker, but he could not complete the break because he still hung on to the old gods. That's very hard for me to imagine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terah worshiping other gods.
Yeah.
Maybe he gave it up, but he could not completely give up. And hence it was Abraham who really becomes the main hero of the story instead of Terah. So Terah is the one who is the these are the generations of Terah. But it's not Terah that we spend most of Genesis talking about.
Right.
It's Abraham, his son.
And that's I think that can be very costly because I don't want someone else to finish the journey that God has for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's one thing I've learned from you is the importance of finishing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The steadfastness that is so lacking in our world, in our culture, in our in the new generation today.
Yeah.
The steadfastness, the delayed gratification, waiting, doing what needs to be done and doing it right and with integrity. And not expecting immediate rewards. And it's not just, let me just follow my whim and pleasure and just go with it because that makes me happier, that makes me satisfied. It's not always the case that the things that you're supposed to do will make you happy and satisfied. Maybe sometimes, but sometimes it's just like, no, I have to do this.
Yeah.
But in time, delayed gratification, God blesses you and you go, okay, thank goodness I was obedient, I was faithful, and I turned away from my own selfishness and my own sin.
That's right.
And chose to do things God's way. You know, going back to the whole account of Terah and Abraham, it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, when Stephen, the newly elected servant in the church, he's preaching his sermon before the high priest in Acts 7. He says, and he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country, from your relatives, come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead," so here we have another mention of Terah, "he was alive, and he was controlling everybody and keeping them from going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell."
Wow.
Mm. So Terah had to literally pass away.
Yeah.
But sort of a mixed allegiance to God.
Mm.
In a sense, very, very obedient, left Ur, but still had the old stuff.
Yeah.
But Abraham is the one who completely left things behind.
Wow.
Still had issues, but he became a chain breaker.
Definitely.
Man, what an encouragement to us. I hope that's encouragement to you listeners as well. You can break those chains in your lives. If you enjoyed today's topic or you have any suggestions for future topics, let us know by sending us a text at 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com and you can support us financially on that same show. We're so grateful for our partners, grateful to have you on our team as we seek to impact the nations. So, Dr. Shaw, there's a closing question for you today from Jordan P.
Jordan Peterson?
I was just about to beat me right to it. Maybe. Jordan Peterson himself. This is from Canada.
It might be. What would you say is the biggest thing missing from mainstream seminary education?
Oh, my word. Biggest thing. Because there's several things I can see that I feel like they, there are a lot of things I respect about my professors. I think they're amazing individuals with some knowledge and expertise and a lot of things. But then there are places where there's a weakness when it comes to application in the church life. And I feel like if that could be balanced so that students who are leaving with excellent resources and exegesis and hermeneutics and languages and theology and all of that will also know how to make practical decisions, how to have a sense of discernment. So I would say that. And I'm not to say I'm an expert in that, but I feel like that was something I wish I had more of.
Yeah,
absolutely. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.